All right, guys, it's GBD here. It's day three of E3, the end of day three. We made it. We're all here. It's Thorbon.
Hey.
And Shipwreck.
Feeling good.
We've crossed the finish line. Well, after we record this, we will have officially crossed the finish line and be flying back home tomorrow. So we have a bunch of stuff to talk to you about. Before we tell you what we did today, we should talk a little bit about the indie mix, maybe?
Oh, boy, yes. I wasn't prepared to talk about that, but I hope you remember the names of those games.
I have a few. I know. First of all, the indie mix is a party that they've had for the last several years on a rooftop around here. And every year it seems to get a little bit bigger and better. They had so many games this year. It's just like you couldn't walk 2 feet without like walking into a different game, and a lot of them were really unique and interesting.
I don't know if you noticed this, but like the E3 show floor in past years, there's been like Xbox or Sony or somebody will give them, you know, indie developers space, but like this year it's just like.
You're the second person to mention that today. Who was the other person?
It was Thorbon earlier today.
Oh, yeah. Was it? Oh, yes. Okay. But, I mean, he's right. He's absolutely right. I mean, you have all the big AAA games getting
all the space. It's all AAA. I think it's in the life cycle where they don't need to, like, promote indie games now.
Totally.
That makes sense.
It's hit its stride in all the games, the big games that have been in development are taking up the show's space. And Microsoft isn't there. I think Microsoft always had like a row or so of indie games that you could just walk up and play.
They made an effort to make sure they included some.
Yeah.
So the indie mix is the place to go to play all the games.
Or Good Shepherd. Like we went to Good Shepherd and Devolver. Sure. Those definitely have the indie games. But you have to go off-site at E3 to get the indie games. I know we played What the Golf.
Yes.
Yeah, which is a golf game for people who hate golf is how they present it. That's their catchphrase.
Makes sense.
It's a physics-based, just kind of goofy game.
Ragdoll physics. But when you hit the ball, it's really you're hitting yourself.
Well, to begin with, you're hitting the ball.
Oh.
It's whatever you are is you're trying to get that to the flag.
Right. Sometimes you're a golfer. Sometimes you're a
golf ball. Sometimes you're a car.
Right.
Sometimes you're playing Super Putt, which is a like super hot.
Yeah, sometimes it's super hot and like the graphics change to be white and red. It's pretty unique.
Yeah, it's just different gameplay mechanics.
Yeah.
That just keep building and changing as you play.
Yeah, it was fun. We laughed a lot watching Chip play that. We saw another game called Desert Child, which is an RPG hover bike racing game with graphics that look like they were inspired from like the Sierra Online adventures, but with a more cinematic cinematography of those graphics.
Yeah, you get more camera angles than just the straight on view.
It's done by a guy who's like an artist, a known artist. I don't know. They talked like his name was plastered on it. Like I was supposed to know who he was.
Britain something. That's he was Australian.
Okay, because it's not on the little sticker, just the name of the game.
Is his name part of the game?
Oscar Brinton?
It's not.
Is that like Mark Echo was getting
it? No, it wasn't, but it was on the sign, but it's not on this little sticker.
I believe his name was Oscar Brinton, or somebody could have that name.
That's a good name.
That is a good name.
Someone should grab that. But anyway, that was cool. I really liked the art style. What was the one with the nightmares? The friend?
Inner child?
The inner friend.
Inner friend.
The inner friend. That's a very scary game that takes place in like a dream, basically inside a dream where you're like a kid and you're getting chased by
nightmares.
Trying
to recover your childhood memories. So you go into these scenarios. The one that we were playing was there was this creepy hairdresser that was chasing you. And
they were based on some real mythology of some kind or no?
I don't think so. I think you might be mixing that up with another game we saw this
today. Okay, yeah, it's possible.
So you had to like just kind of puzzle out how to get through it. It's pretty, a little bit scary, a little bit tense, and then you get whatever, you capture whatever memory it is, whatever object, and you then go back to your childhood room, and that object is there.
And then there's different scenarios with different scary things.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was good. We played a few other things. Everything there was pretty
good. They had a tower Tower Attack?
Vroom Kaboom?
Vroom Kaboom. And it's, well, vehicles. And it's, but it's Tower Attack. Is that the right genre? Is that a real genre?
It's Tower Defense.
Tower Defense, but you're attacking...
You're attacking the other towers.
Right, you're like, attacking the towers. Okay.
So they're attacking you and... You're attacking them.
And you're sending out these vehicles, and you can drive the vehicles, but the idea is that you're sending multiple vehicles out, like, one after another.
It's like third person, like third, behind the car view. Yeah. It's not like it's like way up high to where you're looking down at the cars. It's like you'd be driving a car in a car game view. Yeah, that one had a lot going on with it. I know that.
You can send out multiple though.
Cars. You're driving, and you can switch between the different vehicles as you're... You're going, and it had a deck building in it as well to, like...
I was really impressed with the quantity and quality of indie games at that event. It was... We couldn't see all of them. We were there for a while. And I didn't even notice, like, you know, Milky's game was there. The Dolphin... What is it called? Do you remember? The Dolphin Res game? Res-looking VR
remember.
Game?
I remember there was a game called Hamsterdam.
Yeah, that wasn't it.
No, but I just remember looking at that game and we were talking about it. It's like, that would have been, like, back in Wii days, that would have been like a full retail release. It looked like, and now these are the indie games that are there.
Their indie games are looking a lot better than they sort of have any right to at this, I feel almost. But it was really impressive, the whole thing. Got to see some friends and stuff. It was a lot of fun. Thor, why don't you tell us something that you did today?
All right.
We'll move on to today now, after last night.
All right. The door's open, and I said, all right, let's see what's in there again.
And this was all open to the public from the start today. Yeah,
so I wanted to get some of those giant Persona bags, because people liked them 2 years ago.
Okay.
As giveaways. So,
did you find them?
I went to the Persona 3 dancing game. It's Persona 3 dancing game. It's rhythm game. It's fine. And then... I eventually did find them.
They're on the back side of the Sega.
Yeah, I know. I know. So then I would take a bag, and then I would put in my my messenger bag thing, and then I would walk away about 30 feet, and then I would turn around, grab another bag.
Nice.
Yeah.
You call that the Wombat Special.
Oh, okay. That's the Wombat Special.
No, the Wombat Special is when you're going to an appointment and you're running late, and then he sees like a T-shirt opportunity, and then he just goes there.
And you don't know where he went.
And then he doesn't say anything.
And you turn around and you've lost him.
And then the place is so crowded, you'll never see him. Right. Anyway, go on. I'm sorry.
All right. So, snag three that way.
Okay, cool.
Gave two to friends.
Great.
Cool.
And then I saw Fractured Land. It's basically...
Okay. We know that one. It's the one that has the logo that looks like Borderlands.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
We saw that sign.
Yeah. It's going for Mad Max... Mad Max Battle Royale, basically.
Okay.
So you start off with your car, and then you drive somewhere, and you find parts for your car and some guns.
So it's like a more vehicle-based combat?
Yeah, more vehicle-based.
Did it look decent, or...?
Well, the problem I had was it was a beta, and no one was playing the beta.
That's a problem.
Okay. And so there were cars... Like, how I got kills was I'd walk up to a car, and someone was sitting in there, but... They're away from keyboard or whatever.
Oh, okay. So you're still killing the people, not the vehicles.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So you can get in and out of the vehicle.
Okay.
That's cool. I mean,
but you start with the vehicle.
Was that at the indie?
Yeah.
I thought that's where we saw it.
We saw the sign.
Yeah.
So okay.
It was all right.
I'd be interested in like a battle royale vehicle base, but you can get out of the vehicle.
Yeah.
But that'd be cool. I like that.
And then.
But Call of Duty is basically going to do that, right? Yeah. Sort of. I don't know, who knows?
Oh, you go next now.
Okay.
All right, we had an appointment with Axis, and they showed us Little Dragon's Cafe.
Oh, the collector's edition and all that, yeah, all right.
Yeah, there is a collector's edition of it.
Oh, there's a dragon plush, and you get some
cards. You were just looking at it.
I was just looking at this right before, because it looked like a game that my wife and daughter would enjoy playing. Nice. It's by the creator of Harvest Moon. It combines farming and adventuring and cooking
and
dragon manure.
No,
dragon husbandry.
Thank you.
There's also dragon manure.
Yes,
I thought that's what you were.
No, I was
about.
Impressed with the drag when the guy just rolled off dragon husbandry as a genre of video game.
Yeah.
Like I should have like a FPS
dragon husbandry.
Right. But it was really cute.
It was very cute.
And funny, actually.
There'd be different people that come into the cafe, and they all have issues, and then that's how you get your
staff.
Your staff
is very dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm. And there's a little, to cook, you do a little very minimal music mini games for them, rhythm type stuff.
Good for kids.
Good for kids. If it's the Harvest Moon genre. Yeah,
and really, you're growing vegetables for your restaurant and ingredients.
It's on Best Buy and Amazon pre-orders right now.
Cool. I will probably do it.
If you want the collector's edition, go on Best Buy then.
I
get that 20%.
Yeah, it comes with the plush and some little trading cards and I think the soundtrack. They'd probably
send it to me
if I asked. They were happy. We were happy. It was a good appointment.
Yeah.
Although it was very cold in that hall today.
Concourse Hall. I mean, luckily we walked through there yesterday, and so we knew it was cold. So I brought a sweatshirt. But holy fuck!
It was cold in North Hall too.
Yeah, you could less
west.
People.
West.
The one with Nintendo.
West.
Yes.
Yeah. It was. That was crazy.
Yeah, Concourse Hall. If people don't know what that is, it's a very small hall that is not, like, all of the booths are enclosed, and it doesn't have any, like, there's no decorations or, like...
They're basically meeting, like, temporary meeting rooms that were set up. It's where they had the E3 that one year when they decided to have a tiny E3.
Yeah, when it was the no show for E3, basically.
Imagine cubicles with doors.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, that so is it.
It's a very no-frills... version of
it's where the people come to do business that don't want to spend a lot of money, but they want to have a presence at the show, basically.
Yeah,
spend
the least amount for some of the smaller companies, it makes sense.
I think only media is allowed in there,
I don't know. That's used to
be how
it was.
Work in the door.
I think anybody can walk through there now, because that one door is just open anyways.
Right. But so there's not much for the general public.
Nothing for the general public in there, because it's all the doors are all shut.
Yeah.
So we saw that looked cool. Then we had, let me see, what did we do next? We saw Nyko's booth, which I think the most interesting thing there, all the accessories are good and everything, but the most interesting thing for us was their Labo-inspired arcade kit.
Right. They've made their own Labo kit for $20 that you can buy, and it's a little arcade machine.
Yeah, it's a little arcade machine that you slip the Switch inside of, and then the Joy-Cons, they give you little joystick extenders on them, so they turn them into joysticks.
It's really cute.
And that goes down in there. The bottom part where you insert coins.
You put coins in,
it'll be
a bank.
It'll act like a bank.
You have, it gives you like decorations.
Decorations
and you can customize
it.
And it's $20.
$20. It seems like a nice little thing. Because you could set it up on, it's one of the Labo things that you could actually sit somewhere in your house.
Did they show like any games that were like compatible with it?
Well, anything. We played Street Fighter.
Oh, okay.
It was hard. I couldn't do Blanca's like.
I was fine with it, okay. But I mean it. Yeah.
But like Chip says, it's something that you could build and put on a shelf and people would say, oh,
and
that's
and
like
decorate. Like, you could decorate it any way you wanted to. Yeah. And it just doesn't feel like that bug that you make that doesn't really look, it looks like trash when you're done with it.
Right. You know what this is when you're done with it.
Yeah. So I thought all their stuff was reasonably priced. When we were going through it,
I think now, you know what's interesting now? I touched a few third-party controllers today and used them.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like it's easier for people to make a decent controller now. Like for cheap, like third parties to make a decent controller. Because the Switch Pro controller.
They had a Switch Pro controller that felt pretty nice.
It was like 40 or something?
I think it was
30, 40?
I think it was in that price range. It was 30, I think.
Was it wired or?
No, it was wireless.
It was like it was basically a pro controller, but cheaper.
They had that, and then they had a 2-pack for 30 that were wired.
Was it?
Yeah, that they were putting out by the time the Smash comes out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then we saw Metro Exodus. We got to play about an hour of Metro Exodus. That's really ambitious compared to the last Metro games. Like just the open world.
Right.
You got a little bit of that in the last Metro, but I can't really go too far because I have the mask and the radiation and everything.
Yeah.
This was mask off. pretty, there's a little bit of radiation in some areas, like, yep. You could hear it clicking, but the beginning part was some of what they showed at Microsoft's press conference. But I enjoyed what I played of that game. The atmosphere is very good.
Yeah, it looks really good on the Xbox One X, which is what we played it on. Mm-hmm. I'll probably get it for PC because I wind up playing those games on PC.
They look and run really nice on PC. Yeah. I thought there was some more zombie-like human enemies that were a little bit more in your face than I remember from the last games.
And more controls, I feel like. When you look at that card, there's like LB plus every face button, RB plus every face button.
Oh, that was to bring up all your different tools and your abilities and everything. Yeah.
I mean, I looked at that card and my eyes...
Yeah, it still felt like Metro, though. Sure. I mean, you were having the pump action pneumatic guns and everything. Yep. So
it's coming out next year, right?
Yes, yeah. February 22nd.
Okay, wow. Remember that?
There's a bunch of games that got announced that were on February 22nd. Okay. That's why I remember that was one of them.
Days Gone is another one. And
really?
Yeah, like there's like four like major titles that are February 22nd.
That's not good.
And then January 29th is RE2 and Kingdom Hearts 3. Like, it's going to be a interesting first 2 months of 2019.
We're delaying Christmas this year.
Yes, yes.
And then after that, we went to Mastiff, who is another smaller publisher.
Right, they were happy because their games are cheap, and we're cheap-ass gamers, so right. they'd like to see us, I guess.
So, Home Sweet Home was the first game they showed us.
Okay.
This is the Thai-themed supernatural horror game.
Correct. It takes place in Thailand, and is based on a real, like, suicide...
That was weird, right?
That happened. And the girl is basically haunting you in the game.
Yes, she's following you around with a box cutter, one of those box cutters that has the breakable blades on it so that it you can click it up to extend it.
Right.
And so you're just walking around, and when you start hearing her messing around with the box cutter...
You hear the clicking of the box cutter up and down.
Click, click, click. It's time to hide or run because if she gets to you, it's... instant death.
It's like the movie It Follows.
Probably.
I saw it.
You saw it.
That's the one that I turned off after I watched like 30 minutes. But then I went back a few days later because everybody made fun of me.
Yeah.
I watched it. But it was made by a Thai developer, and it's supposed to be very authentic with the mythology that it's based. The religious beliefs about... the consequences of suicide and the afterlife and other things.
That was just part of what we saw, but there was like multiple sins that are in the Thai culture, and then their culture has them trapped because of those sins in the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not Resident Evil because it's a very small
team. It's a budget title. Works in VR.
Works in VR.
Or not. You don't need VR.
Yeah, we played it without VR.
It was pretty
cool. I thought it was...
decent people, for a small...
Yeah, game. For a small horror game, I thought it was pretty well done.
Mm-hmm.
Then they showed us a couple other games. Pool Elite.
Which is supposed to be the most realistic and...
It's a pool.
Yeah, billiards.
Billiards game.
You know, like online, a lot of online features.
Yeah, looked fine. Pool games are fun sometimes.
Sure.
And then they showed us Heavy Fire Red Shadow, which is like the old... what is that game called? Beachhead. Yeah, Beachhead game where you're...
a gun.
Arcade-based turret where you're just spinning around in circles shooting everything.
Oh, you talk about that arcade game where you put a helmet on your head and you look around? Is that what you're talking about?
I haven't played that. I don't know Beachhead. That's what the guy mentioned. I've played games like that, though.
Yeah. Beachhead, I remember playing it because it was back when Max didn't have any games. That was one of the games that Max had. So it's just like waves of enemies are coming up onto a beach. And Beachhead, and so as they're coming towards your turret, you're just mowing through the ships and
the beaches of Guam.
Yes,
and I had to let them know that I've actually been to Guam. I don't think anyone else who saw that game has been to Guam.
Arcade game.
Yes. It's a budget.
Yeah, it's almost like a light gun shooter type of thing.
Yep.
So after that, we went and saw Team 17's games.
Okay.
Another publisher. They're the publisher of Overcooked.
Yep.
So we'd already played Overcooked 2, so we did not play that again. But we tried out Mugsters, which is a cooperative overhead, like you're controlling these two little...
Tiny little...
They look like the AOL guys.
Right. They do look like the AOL guys.
Running around, there's like physics-based puzzles that you're trying to get through. It was...
We didn't have anybody telling us what to
and
do.
By the time when we were playing it the last day, it seemed like all the levels had been opened up and all the objectives had been done.
So we're not sure what so we were supposed to do.
We could go in there and play around. It looked like it could be a fun little co-op game, but
sure.
We didn't get
couch
a
co-op.
Strong feel from it because all the objectives, I think, were complete.
Mm-hmm.
Planet Alpha was the next game we played. That is a 2D platforming game that it's got like a really good art style to it. Very much, it animates and looks somewhat like reminiscent to Earthworm Jim, but
a little more abstract art style.
Yeah, not as
like, purpley, more purpley.
Yeah, it's space based. You've got like an astronaut type character. Solving puzzles, jumping, doing all that fun stuff.
Yep.
It looked really good.
Sure.
It was nominated for multiple awards.
There was a guy there and he was like...
Explaining this award process.
He was explaining his websites or whatever organization he was with, the award process. You know, like they put those like cardboard awards on the walls and stuff. He's explaining it and it was like... I could just hear like the PR person's eyeballs rolling back into her head because it was taking
like
20
minutes.
Like
the day before they had gotten a nominated plaque.
And now they're a candidate.
Now they were a candidate in 3 out of the 5 categories that they had been nominated in.
My favorite is like Last of Us 2 doesn't have any presence at the show floor. And you know, they just showed a trailer. So they took all those awards and just like put it by a giant like poster of Ellie.
Just in the middle of
yeah,
like,
right.
What are we gonna do with these? All these.
I think they did awards? The same thing with that From Software game, right?
Oh, is that? Oh, because it was on the.
There was like a big statue of it out in front, right. And so all their awards were out by the statue.
Right by the exit.
And then we didn't play, but we watched somebody else play Genesis Alpha 1.
Mm-hmm.
I know you thought that game was interesting.
Yeah, it was a first person shooter mixed with like The Martian, where you're except it's being on Mars, you can build your own spaceship, but you have to get resources so you can build your spaceship more, and you're collecting life samples so you can create new life and find a habitable planet and put the life on the planet.
It's a roguelike.
And it's a roguelike.
The roguelike part was kind of neat because your whole goal is to find a planet that is suitable for humans to live on.
Mm-hmm.
But as you go along, you can mix your DNA with other aliens and find planets for them to live on. Because you need to have other characters so when your character dies,
that's who you become.
They get promoted to captain, the next person up. So, okay.
Have you seen the movie Titan on Netflix?
Titan, no.
I don't believe so.
It sounds like that.
It completely sucks, but like...
It sounds like that?
Yeah. Basically, the world is overpopulated, so they make monsters that can live on Venus. The moon of Venus.
That sounds like this, but I mean, look, the visuals were really good. Look good, I thought. Like for it looked like a really smooth first-person shooter with like unique elements. What was that called again?
That was called Genesis Alpha 1.
Okay.
Then we had some time to
Let's give
walk.
Thor a chance.
Yeah,
because he's got a big list
there.
So I was walking the show floor, and you know those people with the big inflatable bats?
Yes.
Ninjala.
Yeah, I saw them.
Holy shit, a lot of people
lined up for
that.
Where's your inflatable bat?
I didn't get one.
Oh.
But I don't really care.
I mean, let me tell you something. If you want people to come and play your game, giant inflatable bats, and just have it right by the front doors, because... Pretty much for the whole show, they had lines.
It was gung ho.
Yeah.
So they had a great space, like right.
Was EA's old space?
No, this would have been part of
Sega's old space.
Sega's old space. Yes. Possibly some of Microsoft's, depending on what year.
And those motherfuckers were lining up for those bats, inflatable bats. What do you do with those bats when you get home? By the way.
You deflate them and then they go in the trash.
Right. That's what I thought. Like, we saw a couple, like, you know, just like...
If you have two bats, then you can at least have
a fight.
Bat battles.
But there was, like, a couple walking, and they were holding hands, and they each had an inflatable bat in their
backpack. They were having fun. I'm not going...
I know, but I just wonder, like, what happens when you get home? What's going on with those bats?
They have
some
bat battles.
Okay.
Sexy bat battles.
I was fantasizing back in my hotel.
But yeah, there was no...
Okay.
There
did you play it?
Yeah, there was no lines, but I played it.
What is it? It looks like... The characters look like Splatoon characters.
Splatoon, yes. Yeah. It's a Splatoon, semi-Splatoon ripoff, but there's no ink. There's no ink battles or anything. It's a multiplayer-only game. What you do is you have gum, and you...
Spit the gum?
No, you blow your gum bubble up to the highest you want, and then the highest you want, you create your bat. And if you blow a really big bubble, then you have a really big bat.
Of gum.
Of gum, yeah.
A bat of gum.
Okay. Yes. And then also while you're blowing bubbles, if you can shoot the bubble at the other players, and then they get stuck, and then you come up and whack them like a pinata.
Okay.
And then also, if while you are blowing gum and you're inflatable, you can run up walls and go on the ceiling.
Okay.
But only when you're doing that.
Is this a free-to-play...
I would imagine it's gung ho.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine it's going to be free to play.
Was it? So this wasn't a Switch game?
It's a Switch game.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, it's a Switch game.
Okay.
I was playing on a Switch Pro controller, so.
Right. Yeah. No, I thought it was. Yeah. It was going to be very surprising to me if it wasn't a Switch game.
Yeah, it's a Switch game.
Okay.
And then,
That probably will do very well for them.
Yeah.
It plays.
Yeah, it plays well, fine. Yeah.
Okay. Ninjala. Everybody seemed to be happy to be getting their bats.
The line was there. People were playing it.
And then I tried Black Ops 4.
Okay.
And last Call of Duty game I actually played a lot was Ghosts, and that's why I kind of stopped playing. But so I played Black Ops 4, and I sucked because I'm sure the other people who got in line were really good, and I was getting my ass handed to me. It was interesting playing it now because you can't, like, die and then have two grenades. It's like the grenade replenishes over time.
My character didn't even have grenades that I had.
Well, you have to pick the grenade or pick the Molotov or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think I had anything to throw. I don't know.
You didn't choose your weapons in your class?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Because we switched off controllers. I don't remember what I chose.
Oh.
We had some kind of something.
So what did you think? Are you going to come back to Call of Duty now?
No.
No, okay.
No. I'm good with
it. Oh, my God. I'm watching this couch behind us, and this pool just blew right off. The cushion just blew right off the round couch outside.
Amazing action.
I mean, it was like a 5-foot cushion just blew away.
One time I looked out my hotel window, and people were doing it. So.
Really? That's you win.
Yeah, I win. Yeah. I was 11, so.
Now we know.
Yes. Hold on, let me get my list up again. All right, and then went to NIS America. And boy, they pump out the games over at NIS America.
Yeah, they do.
So I saw Metal Max Zeno. And it's like a... It's
good
like,
name.
Yep, you know, it's basically a...
They're running out of names over there.
it's like a Mad Max RPG, basically.
Okay.
What visuals are we talking?
Zelda-ish.
Okay.
Zelda Wind Waker-ish, you know.
Oh, okay.
Like,
That's fine. I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
get the
like,
art style.
Like, simplistic.
Yeah, yeah.
Simplistic art. It's only a $40 game, so. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a very traditional RPG, and then you find a tank, and you get in the tank, and you do RPG battles in the tank. And then I play...
So turn-based RPG?
Yeah, turn-based RPG. It reminds me a lot of the old school PS2 RPG games, like Suikoden and things like that. Like, you just...
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so if you're looking for that, that's good. And then I tried Labyrinth of Refrain, Coven of Dusk.
That's a good name.
Yeah, and Coven of Dusk. Yeah, and it was originally a Vita game only in Japan, but then they brought it over, and it's going to be on Switch and PS4. And
Lorcod.
What?
Lorcod.
Lorcod, good, yeah.
Yeah.
Just for short.
Okay, Lorcod.
It's going to catch on. We'll see. Going to sweep the nation.
But yeah, in that game, you make puppets that look like sexy anime people.
Oh.
And then you go through a dungeon, first person view, like old school RPG games. And then you fight monsters, and it's an RPG game. It's demoing RPGs isn't the most exciting thing, you know, because it's just like, you know.
I know, it's hard to get sucked into that world.
Yeah, and then I played Touhou Genso Wanderer, and that was okay. Do you know the world of Touhou?
No. Not that I know of.
Touhou is a big anime's like sensation type thing. This guy makes Touhou games, and there's like a maid character and all this. I don't know. It's really big community or whatever.
Good.
And there's good for a that game. Community. Yep. And there's a game. And then I played SNK Heroines Tag Team Frenzy.
Okay. This one's I'm interested in this one.
Yeah. So it's sexy ladies in bikini, like from the old SNK games. Mm-hmm. And it's more casual driven, and you know it's a regular fighting game. You punch, and once you get up to a certain level, you use your sexy power or whatever. You press R1, use your sexy fighting power. It played well. It's a good fighting game.
Cool.
I liked it. And then I saw The Last Child, The Lost Child. Sorry, The Lost Child, and. It's a visual novel type game, and you're a guy on a subway, and you fall over, and then a mysterious lady picks you up before the train hits you, and she's like, take this briefcase, and then you take the briefcase, and you're at work, and then a angel appears that has big titties and is sexy.
The best kind of angel. Why do you want, like, an ugly angel with small titties when you can have a sexy one?
So, yeah, it looked interesting. They gave me a copy. And then I tried Disgaea 1 Complete, which is a remake of Disgaea 1. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty good. They're using the old audio track, so it's like the same old voice actors and things like that.
That could be hard.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't care. Doesn't offend me.
Yeah. No.
I'm fine, either way. It's not going to affect me at all.
Yeah. And they're working on it still. It's still a work in progress, but it looked cool.
Okay.
And then after that, NAS America gave out the best swag because they're just like, any games we made, you can have for free on cartridge or disc or whatever.
Nice.
So I loaded up.
Sweet. I'm sure they were happy that you did.
Yeah, because it was Thursday. And
yeah, I don't want to take that shit home.
Yeah.
Awesome.
What about us?
We had a little bit of time on the show floor. We saw the Neo Geo Mini.
Mm.
We played around with that.
Yep.
We didn't have a ton of time with it, but
no, we just played Samurai Showdown 5 or something.
Special. Yeah. I played on the actual joystick that's built into it, and you played on the
separate
joypad,
controller.
The controller. It played and looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was impressed with the joypad.
Okay. It was.
It felt nice.
That's what I mean. Like, it feels like you can make like a cheap joypad or controller now, like, that wasn't really possible 10 years ago. They all felt like inferior.
Right.
Somehow they felt cheap. Now everything feels good.
It will be interesting to see what price point that thing comes in at.
Yeah, when I was there yesterday, I was like, so what retailers is this going to be on? Oh, SNK Online Store. So is it only going to be on the SNK Online Store? Oh, I don't know. How much is it going to be? Oh, I don't know. When does this come out? In a month? In a month? In a month, and you don't know all the... Okay.
Well, yeah. I ran into the same thing with the first time that 8-Bit Do was there, and they don't have any information. They're just like... Here's the things that we have.
Look at it. We'll buy it later.
They're not planning this big PR campaign.
Right.
Blitz.
They've gotten one of the small booths that are back the Kincha Hall booths. And they're happy to be there. Because they're not even showing the North America version of the Neo Geo. It's the
international. Yeah, I pressed the button and it was all in Chinese or Japanese.
It's the Asian version that they have here. Mm-hmm. So they have an idea,
right?
But
we'll see.
It's a cool little device. And the last appointment we had was Warner Brothers.
You forgot one though.
Did I forget one?
Yeah, because it was off schedule.
It was off schedule
and off site.
Oh, I did. Yes. Oh wait, we did have one more on schedule. okay. And on site.
Go ahead.
We checked out NASCAR Heat 3.
We sure did.
But it's all in under embargo.
Right. Ha. You guys. Sorry, guys. Hate to, you know, tickle your ass with a feather and not pay off. But we did get to play Tetris.
Tetris Effect. In VR.
We got to watch a guy who was really good play, like one of the best players around.
And then I got to watch Cheapy play.
One of the worst players around.
It was an interesting building strategy when you play Tetris.
I do not understand the strategy of Tetris. I mean, I understand the very most basic strategy of Tetris.
Uh-huh.
But I have no idea how to get to that point. And I just... And plus, like Thorbon said, that you really like the game. You like the visuals a lot. And you couldn't really check them out because you're playing Tetris.
Yeah.
So I just handed the controller... After I was embarrassing myself, I hear everybody laughing. I handed the controller back to Mark. And I said, how about I just watch while you play?
Yeah.
You control it, and I'll just look around. And then it was great. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah,
I played it.
Yes.
And it's a really good version of Tetris. It's Luminous Tetris. Let's not play around. Like, it's Luminous Tetris.
Song-based, tied to visuals.
Yeah.
And you get new songs as you progress through clearing the puzzles.
Yep.
The guy that we saw play got, what was it called? He cleared...
A Tetris?
Decahedron or something.
Decahedron?
Yeah, he got 17 lines to disappear at once. Because once you fill up this meter, you can enter a zone mode, I think it's called. Something like that. And every line that you clear then just adds to the bottom of the screen. So then when that mode is over, then all those disappear at once and you... get super score. It's a very crisp, snappy version of Tetris. Do you need to play it in VR?
It's too hard to see what's going on, I think, in VR. If you have somebody else...
I was playing it fine in VR. It's not going
to
make me
go out. No, I mean the visuals that, you know, that you would normally be able to sort of look at if you're playing Luminous, maybe, because it's... I don't know. The visuals are going on sort of above the board and to the side. I don't know.
They're going all around it, but...
I was more interested in looking around, because I'm like, see? I played Tetris a million times.
But I didn't see this shit before.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was...
whale before.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
No, it's very good.
Yeah.
Either in VR or not.
Mm-hmm. I like the music already.
Yeah. Too. So then our last appointment was with Warner Brothers.
Yep.
And we played Hitman 2.
Yep.
That is a Hitman game. I will throw it back to you.
Yeah. We played through the demo level, which was at a F1 race, and we had to kill one of the drivers at the race.
So it was very colorful. The color palette was much more broad than what I remember playing in Hitman.
I would say that if people showed you screenshots from the game, you would not think that it was a Hitman game.
It's in Miami, and if you think of Miami colors, that's what you were seeing.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you know, like any Hitman game, there's multiple ways to take out the target. In this one, you could either put an explosive to the car. This is what I did, too. Or you could, I think, shoot them.
You could do a sniper. Or there was a couple other ways, I think.
They weren't in the demo,
yeah. But those were the ways that were in the demo.
But it looked and played well, like a Hitman game. And
you know what? Playing a Hitman game with somebody telling you what you're supposed to do next.
I need that.
Is a key feature. They should just
DLC.
Should just have that DLC that has the dev DLC that they're just sitting next to you.
Yeah, Skype call.
Why don't you just tell me in the movie you want to see?
That's what he was doing. He was telling me what to... Because, like, when you play a Hitman game, it's really unclear sometimes. It's almost like they expect you to do trial and error, which seems
like
what a Hitman would not do.
Right, like, there's a point in it, it's like, okay, we're going to go poison this drink. And I'm like...
Why?
All right, let's do it. I have no idea whose drink this is.
It's just sitting here. Yeah, how would I know whose drink it was?
But it turned out all right.
Yeah.
It was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And then we played Lego DC Supervillains, which is the next Lego game. And you start off and you are a new rookie supervillain.
Oh.
But obviously then you're swapping between all the Lego characters like normal. But that's...
And my guess is you wind up customizing
that guy. Yeah, you're customizing that guy. He's breaking out, like Lex Luthor is breaking out of a prison, and he is a prisoner in there, and Lex is bringing him out with him. So we played as Lex Luthor and Cheetah.
Solomon Grundy.
Solomon Grundy. I forget who that other character was that we were playing.
What's it look like?
Looked like a limousine driver, to be honest. He was like wearing all black with like a hat. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. It wasn't a character that I knew. I don't think. Wombat probably would know right away, obviously.
Uberman.
Yeah, Uberman was his name. So that was. It seemed like it's going to be a good Lego game.
Sure. I know
my kid is going to be really into it.
Yep.
All right, I got one last appointment. It's big one. It's Moss on Oculus. Nice.
How was that? I got that email.
Yeah. So I didn't quite know what they were going to show me, so I was like, all right, it's Creator's Moss. What is it? Oh, it's awesome. Awesome. They were showing it on the Oculus Touch, and...
That's the expensive one or the cheap one?
The cheaper
one. The Go one. Is that the Go?
I think it's the cheaper one. I don't know, something, but it was... My fat head wasn't fitting around it. And they're just like, they tried to get it over my head with my glasses on. And I was looking like this when I was playing.
Right.
And like my glasses were half off. And I was just like, they were like, can you play without the glasses? And I'm like, want me to say your game looks like shit.
Can't see it. Do I need to see? That's so funny. Oh, God.
Yeah. So PSVR, though, is pretty friendly with glasses and stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of space.
Yeah.
A lot of space there.
Moss is fun, but like, I'm not that interested in VR, but like, I was like, man, they should really just like take out the VR part and let me play it without the VR. But
I'm sure Oculus brought them there, right? I guess, or who knows?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
All right.
But then I was like, oh, we can do giveaways, and they had copies of their physical that came out this week, and they're just like in NIS America, they're like, all right, here you go, give it away. Ooh. So
nice.
So that'll be up on Saturday.
Great. Any takeaways from the show since the show is over?
Did a great job. Good job, everybody.
Security was better than expected.
Yep, security was. This was the most organized E3 ever, maybe, on getting into and out of the shows. I think security helped manage the just overall bum rush into the.
True.
Yeah.
We didn't have to get there too early to be able to get
no.
to, even if we had the first appointment, we made all the appointments.
No, I don't know how they accomplished it exactly. Like, there was no line, like...
Because it was the media days.
Well, but I didn't even see today. Remember last year, there were lines outside that went for a long time. And that could have just been that was the first year that the general public...
I got the email that said it was 69,500 attendees.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
What was it last year? Do you remember?
60?
It was like 60. It was less.
Huh.
Yeah, they did a good job, I guess.
Yeah,
so
they did do a pretty good job. I wasn't staying out there in the hot sun very long.
Yeah, I think a lot of the booths changed up their setups.
Their layouts.
So there was more walking room
everywhere,
which was big. There was only the first day, which you would expect, was the only day where you would take a step and then not be able to take a step until it was like you were shuffled. You had to shuffle everywhere the first day.
Sega's booth was very unorganized, but that was the only problem I had. Also, this year was kind of like the year without Microsoft for me, because every time I would walk by the Microsoft arena or center or whatever, it would say 45-minute wait, and it was in the direct sunlight, and I was like, well, maybe later, and...
They eventually brought umbrellas out there, we saw.
Oh, okay.
Yesterday.
But I was just like, you know, all right, oh, maybe later.
I think you could have gone around and got in the press store.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I was just...
You know, you're saying maybe being off-site is not that effective.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a... They were noticeably missing from the show floor. More than, say, like, EA is missing from the show floor.
Mm.
So we'll see what Microsoft does next year.
Maybe it was a huge hit. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean they got their own little thing, but
also when it was industry only hours, all the people with the blue badges were waiting in line for that.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, it's good. It's good to have a lot of things to do for everybody.
Yep. There was a lot of good games this year.
Yep.
I think everybody's going to say that Cyberpunk was the game of show, but We didn't go and see it. I'm sure it's fabulous, but it's so far out that we didn't feel compelled.
I had lunch with Kelsey and Metal Jesus Rocks, and they were just like, "It's the new. This looks fucking amazing. It's so amazing that like they had to show that it was a real live demo and have the guy move around and it's in first person. Sure. And oh my god!" And I was like, "Okay."
But it's playing on like some mega computer.
Yeah, that's the. It's nice to have dreams.
Yeah, and to look forward to things. And to look forward to the future, and maybe right. more games are going to look like that in the future.
It'll be a good game because it's the studio behind it is committed to quality.
And I hope that they put that their little demo. It's like an hour demo. I hope they put that on YouTube.
I think it's like 15 minutes, right?
Oh, is it? I thought it was an hour.
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's an hour presentation, I thought.
Wow.
Hopefully it gets online
also,
at some point.
Also, whenever I walked by their meeting room, because they weren't on the floor show floor or anything, it was crowded.
Yep, there was always a line.
Everybody was trying to get in.
Yeah.
I was trying to work it. We didn't try.
No. I mean...
It's fine.
Yeah.
I can imagine that.
We had a pretty full slate of...
I also think everybody wanted those statues that are going for $500 on eBay. So
are they really?
That's the going price. I don't know if anything's sold yet. Okay. But
because there's a lot of... They seem to give out a lot of them.
They were everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a sexy lady with like sword hands. Yeah.
Panties. Like, you see panties. Like
bloody, she don't bloody it up too.
You put that on your coffee table?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's...
Right by your... Anyway.
People love it. So yeah.
Sure.
Good.
Good.
My favorite games were probably Control and obviously Tomb... It's all the games that I would love anyway.
No surprises.
Tomb Raiders. No surprises.
Mine is Resident Evil 2, Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. Spider-Man.
Well. Yeah.
And Tetris Effect, I think. I like that.
Oh, awesome.
Awesome.
I would say Spider-Man, Control, of course, you know, Remedy. That really reminded me of Alan Wake. And Forza. Why not? I mean, like I said, not many surprises for things that are coming out in the near future. All right.
Yeah,
we did it.
The asking price right now is around 500, but no.
What's the closing price though?
Yeah,
what's the finished?
Let's see. That's what I'm. Let's see. Filter.
For the cyber. What's that game called again?
Cyberpunk 2077.
Cyberpunk.
Let's see.
Completed, I think it calls, right?
Yeah, I'm looking for completed.
Show it to Shipwreck. He's the eBay master. Let's see. It's important work here. That we're doing.
Did you tell them about that Destiny emblem, by the way?
The Destiny emblem was going for $125.
Yeah.
Right now, none of these have sold.
All right, so it'll probably go down in price.
Yeah, there's so many.
Yeah,
we saw.
They were
so
everywhere.
Many.
If you really want that statue, just wait a little while, guys.
Yeah.
If that's something you want.
Yeah.
I would wait for the statue that they put out that looks like that's a car or something, because that you can put anywhere. Can display anywhere. All right. Well, thank you everybody for a great E3. Thank you, Thorbon. Thank you, Shipwreck. Thanks to all the listeners for keeping tabs on us. And you'll get our more post-show impressions next week on the Real CatCast. Thanks a lot. Bye bye.
Yeah, NIS makes good games. They just make so many of them. It's like I don't know how. You can't even keep up with one franchise because they make a different version of it and slap a name on the end of it.
Yep.
Oh, whoops.